This is the GAMAC Hotline for October 26, 2005. Special interview edition with Andy Bowden of Cranky Pants Games.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more...
Game Addict Hotline.
This is the Game Act Hotline. How are you guys doing today? This is a special edition of the Game Act Hotline. Today I'm going to be actually letting you guys listen to an interview that I had with Andy Bowden of Cranky Pants Games, the makers of the Evil Dead Regeneration game. I got to sit down and talk to him about game development and what to do to become a game developer. So let me go ahead and let me give you a little background about the game. Evil Dead Regeneration is about playing Ash after the Evil Dead 1 movie ended. And what you're going to be doing is you'll be convicted of the murders that happened inside the log cabin. There, you will be sent to an institute of the criminally insane. Once you're there, you're going to find that in the basement of the insane asylum, the mad Dr. Virgo Reinhardt is combining technology with the Book of the Dead, you might also know it as the Necronomicon, to fulfill his perverted experiments. Unfortunately, he'll be unleashing many deadites that are very twisted and hellish. So what you're going to have to do is kick their butt. Evil Dead Regeneration is for the PS2, Xbox, and PC, and is rated M for blood and gore, intense violence, and strong language. So, let's go ahead and I'll start the interview up and let you enjoy the show. My first question is, what is the first game you remember playing?
The first game I remember playing actually goes all the way back to Pong. My uncle was worked down in the Silicon Valley and was one of the first guys to get a Pong game, so we always used to look forward to going over to his house and playing Pong. It was the home version, the big box with two paddles attached with wires.
Wow.
Nice grain finish on it.
That's cool. What made you want to make games for a living?
I'd always played video games. I played a lot of stuff in the arcade back when I was in junior high, and when the Commodore 64 came out, that was the first computer that my folks bought, and there were a lot of really good computer games on the Commodore 64. So I was really into it at that time, and then I got an IBM, and I was still into video games, and then when I was going to college for business school, I spent a lot of time building maps for Duke Nukem 3D.
Oh.
And really, really enjoyed it, and really enjoyed getting them out there online, and I guess it was the early days of the internet. And seeing other people play and getting feedback. So at that point, I realized that that was the direction I wanted to go.
Did you know that Duke Nukem 3D source code is out?
I had not heard that.
Yeah, you can pick it up over at 3D Realms website.
Oh, great. I'll have to check that out.
Oh, cool. Tell me a little bit about Cranky Pants Games.
Sure. Cranky Pants Games is a company that was started by a number of individuals that I've worked with for a while that I worked with at EA. And they decided that they wanted to start up a new studio, and they had some contacts within THQ, and so they spoke to THQ and asked if they would be interested in funding a game company here in the Seattle area, and they were able to convince them that it would be a good investment, being that we're so close to Microsoft and Nintendo. So the company was formed probably about, 3.5 years ago now. And the first couple of games that Cranky Pants worked on were the GameCube ports of Summoner 2 and Red Faction 2. And after that, when I came on board, we started working on our first original title, which was Evil Dead Regeneration, which just hit the shelves a number of weeks back.
Your newest game is Evil Dead Regeneration. Where does it fit in the movie series?
Well, Evil Dead Regeneration, when we started making the game, there's actually some interesting history there about the licenses, is that our company has licenses for the Evil Dead series, not for Army of Darkness. So we're basing our game on the first two films. So what we wanted to do was come up with a storyline that was not going to interfere with the Army of Darkness storyline, but would be kind of a what-if scenario that could have happened in between the first and second, or between the second and third films. So our game takes place right or some unknown time after the night in the cabin that people remember from Evil Dead 2. And Ash has been... all the bodies in the woods were found, and nobody believed him when he said they were possessed by zombies, demons. So he's been put on trial for the murder of all of his friends, and that's where he picks up.
Well, that's cool. My next question is, did you ever get a chance to talk to Bruce Campbell? And what did he get to do with the game?
Actually, I did, and it was great working with Bruce. He is a really, really cordial host. He's got a recording studio down in Medford, which is where he lives, and that's so we were able to travel down there and meet with him. And originally, we met with him since he's also one of the licensors of the Evil Dead films. We met with him and discussed concepts of the game. We discussed early storylines with him, gave him copies of our early dialogue passes, and gave him an opportunity to provide his feedback. And then we were also able to run some of our cinematic material past him to get his thoughts on those as well. But the biggest role he played in it was, of course, providing the voice of Ash. And we worked with him in the recording sessions. We had a couple of four-hour recording sessions with him down in Medford, and it was a lot of fun. We'd go in there with a list of, here are all the situations that Ash is going to be in the game. Some of them had dialogue that we had written. Some of them had just generic situations like, okay, scream in anger or scream in rage. And then he would do a lot of ad-libbing on top of that. And since he knows the character of Ash better than anyone, he was able to add a lot of life the stuff we wrote. So he had a huge hand in making the game what it was.
Did he use a lot of the stuff that you guys wanted him to use, or did he say no to most of it?
Actually, no, he was very, very accommodating. We spent a lot of time on our end studying the films and not just looking at the one-liners he used in the films and copying them, or not just looking at some of the gags in the films, but really trying to understand the motivation behind what Sam Raimi, who was the producer of the films, the motivation behind his cinematic style, the motivation behind the humor, what inspired him to make the original films. And using that, we were able to do a pretty good job of capturing the feeling of the films without just ripping them off or without taking them in a different direction. So when we were able to show them the material, we got some pretty good feedback on what we had, and so most of what we had stayed.
Well, cool. Now, I heard that your game is $20. Is that correct?
That's correct, $19.99.
$19.99. What are some of the positives and negatives of making a game that's $20?
I guess I'll start with the negatives. The negatives are that, obviously, our game was not wasn't built as a budget title. So a lot of your $19.99 games will have a much lower budget than your standard games that are out there. And as such, they sell for a lower price, but they also don't have the quality level that most people expect from a premium title. Our game was built from the beginning as a premium title. We didn't set out to say this is going to be a cheap movie game. We set out to say what's the best Evil Dead movie game we can make, and that's what we've done. So the downside is, obviously, we need to sell a lot of units to recoup the costs. But the upside is that people who bought the previous games in 1999 are expecting to see the next one at $19.99, so they're going to be much more ready to go out and pick this one up. Plus, it also being at a lower price point will give many customers that would normally not be able to afford or aren't ready to purchase or put down $40 on a game they're not sure of, it'll encourage them to say, you know what, it's only $20, let me give it a shot. So if you get enough people doing that and talking about the game, they're not only going to find a great game there, but they're also going to be introduced to the Evil Dead movies, which is just a tremendous series of movies that I would recommend to anyone. So it really makes the game much more accessible to the masses.
Especially when it's a cult classic, there's a lot of people who enjoyed the older Evil Dead movies and the Army of Darkness movies that they'll be able to play as Ash and have an enjoyable time playing.
Absolutely. They may not be hardcore gamers that want to go out and spend $50 in every new game, but at that price point, hey, I love the movies, let me give the game a shot and see what it's all about, and hopefully they're going to be very pleasantly surprised.
But what were some of the things that you were happy about with the completion of the game?
Completion of the game, I was happy because it took almost 3 years of my life, and so it's always nice to come to a conclusion on that. I'm happy that, especially looking at the reviews that have come out since, that one of our main goals from the beginning was to deliver a lot of that humor horror that you don't see in too many other games that made the film such cult classics. And I'm happy to see that from our cinematics and the animations of our two main characters, Ash and Sam, who's Ash's half-dead sidekick, that the way those two interacted in cinematics really brought forth that humor. I think that even in the game and talking to friends of mine that played the game, really laughed at a lot of the dialogue that went on between the characters, which is also what made the film great. I think the thing I'm most proud about is the fact that we were able to deliver on that Evil Dead humor the way nobody has before. And it was also nice to take a vacation at the end.
Well, what were some of the things that you were disappointed that you couldn't do with the game?
Like probably every developer out there, if you ask them, there's, in addition to the 50 things you did get into the game, there's another 50 you wish you had. I wish we had more time to add more of the good stuff in there. There's enough there to make a good title, but I always, you know, I had a big list of things that, oh, God, it'd be great if we can get this additional weapon in or this additional combo. And then there are, of course, always restrictions that you face when working on console games, such as memory limitations and the amount of data you can stream through the CD at one time, that made us have to make some tough choices on things to cut out. So that's always disappointing. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think we kept the best of the best in there and let go of the rest. And of course, I always wish I had more time to polish, more time to fine-tune the good stuff that's in there.
You can't talk to us about your new game that's coming out soon, since it's so new. But you have been able to work with the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. What are some of your, as a developer, what are some of your thoughts?
Well, I'm a designer rather than an engineer, so I can't really get into a lot of the technical specs of the hardware, and we've just started working with them. But I think one of the things that's going to be really interesting about, and from what I've talked to my more technical peers about, the next generation of consoles is the fact that, well, first of all, games are going to be a whole lot more expensive to produce. There's so much more power, there's so much more memory there that creating assets, characters, cars, environments is going to take a lot more time to get it to really push what the consoles can do. So it's going to be a bigger investment. There are going to be, probably fewer titles and hopefully bigger titles, but only time will tell on that front based on what the market demands. Again, with more memory comes a lot more visual quality. You're going to see a lot of stuff like bump mapping on characters to give a lot more detail to the character without dramatically increasing the polygon counts. You're going to see hopefully a lot more features focused on the processor, so hopefully some more intricate AI routines that they're going to be able to pull off, because with all this visual quality, you still have some limitations on how much data you can push through the system at once, because you've got only so much power in your graphics chips. But hopefully there's going to be enough computational power left over on the main processor, and I hope that I'm not screwing up too many of the technical details here, but hopefully enough power there that we're going to be able to do some really fun things with AI and some of the other systems that normally you would not have been able to do on the older systems.
Well, great. What kind of programming software do you use?
Programming software, gee, that's another good technical question that I'm going to take a stab on, and I may be wrong. We use Visual Studio for our engineering, I believe. Our source control, we use Alien Brain, and for our 3D modeling, we use Maya.
Do you guys use 3D Studio Max, or is that...
We don't in our studio. Most game companies kind of are either Max Studios or Maya Studios, and the reasoning for that is they usually choose one or the other because we end up writing a lot of custom plugins and a lot of custom tools to work with either one or the other. And so once you've done a couple of games on one, it's really hard to make that transition into the other. It's a big investment of time that you put in there. So,
Do you think there's going to be a big shift now that the 3D Studio Max people have bought out the Maya people?
I don't know. I was wondering that myself. I know that there's going to be some impact, but it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. I don't know if they're going to figure out a way to put the two to be common, but I know there are a lot of studios that have made investments one way or the other. So I guess the short answer is I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
My final question is for those who are going to be going into the game development, what are kind of some of the things that you think are skills that people should be looking into?
People in the games industry come from a bunch of different backgrounds. I got a business degree. I know friends that have got no degree that have gotten into it, and we've got history majors, English majors, and it goes on. But I think that the one thing that they all share in common is, of course, a love for games and the desire to go out on their own, not in a job setting, and start making content. We've hired designers that came from computer science degrees but spent their own time building levels for Defense or building levels for Unreal, or like myself, building levels for Duke Nukem. There's no better way to learn design than to get out there and play a lot of games, try to break down the fundamentals of what makes the game fun, because that's the hardest thing to do. A really good designer can understand the motivations that drive the player, like risk versus reward, or you know, what makes a compelling reward system. And the only way to really get that is to talk to somebody who's done it and who knows a lot about it, but also to read a lot of reviews and see what reviewers are complaining about or are proud about or are happy about, and then also to play games yourself and just kind of write down in a journal everything that's great, everything that's terrible. So if you're playing along in your game and you have an experience, it's like, oh, that sucked, write it down. If you're playing along and you say, oh, God, that felt really good, why did it feel good? And write it down. And eventually you can start discovering the trends of, you know, it really feels good to have a really hard fight and then to get rewarded with something at the end. Or it really feels good to walk through a narrow hall and then come to a big open space that just impresses you with the view. And once you start seeing that, you're going to start identifying kind of the fundamentals of game design. And, of course, hard work is critical. You've got to be able to try some stuff out, take some risks, and put it in front of people and be ready for them to say, yeah, this kind of isn't very fun. And you need to listen to that and say, okay, why isn't it fun? And then try to make, get an understanding of why and make changes. So, and then get your foot in the door. You know, my first job was a QA job, and I knew out of school that I didn't want to go work in a big business somewhere. I'd rather start off in games because that's where my passion was. So I got my foot in the door, worked really hard, and was fortunate enough to have some good luck. And I know a lot of guys that got into games that way. So,
all right, well, that's all I have to ask you. Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us about game development and also about your new game. Hopefully it'll be a big success.
I hope so, too.
Have you?
No problem, Luke. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. You have a good day. And I want to go ahead and thank Andy Bowden for coming on and talking with us. Well, hopefully we'll have more people from the game development companies, and hopefully you'll be able to give me some questions that you would like to hear game developers answer in the near future. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you could email me at gameaddicthotline@gmail.com, or you can visit our website at www.gameaddicthotline.com. You can also comment on the interview and give me comments on what to do to help out the show if you think that there's things to be changed, or you can even tell me what things you like. So I'll go ahead and say goodbye to everybody. You have a nice day, okay?